It's time for the gardening show.
I have a European beech tree.
I've got one too, and I dearly love it. So.
Oh, I love it too. I hug it once in a while. Don't believe it. What the heck, you know?
Never hurts.
Got a question for your gardening expert, Dr. Dean Krauskopf? Call 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
I have a rose bush, and it is 52 years old.
Horticulturist Dr. Dean Krauskopf is your host on the program filled with helpful information on lawn care, tree problems, gardens, crops, pests, everything and anything gardeners need to know.
I'm hoping that maybe I can get it moved without it dying.
Dean spent almost 30 years teaching horticulture at Michigan State University, and he served as the integrated crop management agent for Southeast Michigan's MSU Extension Service. The Gardening Show and your calls coming up next on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
And if you'd like to join our conversation, here's our phone number, 1-800-859-0957. Let me give it to you again, 1-800-859-0957. Or if you get a question during the middle of the week, or you can't get through on the lines, and by the way, the lines are open right now, so if you've got something you'd like to talk about, here's your opportunity. You can email me, wjr.com/thegardeningshow, and Tom and Warren. We'll get to your question today, Tom. I hope you're listening. A very important ivy in his life, and some hints and tips, I think we can save it, so I hope so. But 1-800-859-0957. While we're waiting for the lines to show up, we have a guest this afternoon, and my guest is Russell Kidd, who is the Outreach Coordinator for Michigan State University's Eyes on the Forest Project. Russ, welcome to the Gardening Show. Thank you for being with us.
Good to hear from you.
Hey, you know, this is a project. Now, it says Eyes on the Forest, and I, you know, that's a great title. It's catchy. But I think many of our people, listeners, of course, are in urban areas. But this is just as important for urban people to be knowledgeable about and, of course, perhaps actually volunteer for. So tell me a little bit about what the whole project's trying to do.
Well, this project's trying to get a leg up, if you will, and some early surveillance on some potentially threatening invasive species that could do great harm to Michigan if they ever get here. We don't want to go through another Emerald Ash episode where we waited nearly 10 years to begin to formulate a plan to deal with it. By then, it was kind of too late. So what this project is, it's aiming at three different pests in particular, but through the project, if anybody sees anything weird, we're encouraging them to report on it.
Okay.
But it's focusing on Asian longhorn beetle that attacks maples and a lot of other hardwoods. Hemlock woolly adelgid that goes after hemlock trees and has been very, very devastating out east. And thousand cankers disease of walnut, which goes after black walnut.
And just totally wipes it out. Now, yeah. These pests are not far, far away either, are they? They are, I know I was talking to somebody down in Ohio, and they've got thousand cankers, or they think they do.
That's right.
This is getting close.
Right. Thousand cankers has been reported in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and I believe Tennessee. The Asian longhorn beetles outside of Cincinnati. There had been an infestation in Chicago, but they've kind of eradicated that one a number of years ago. So a lot of these are close to home. Getting back to your first question, though, one of the reasons we call it Eyes on the Forest because it's catchy.
I think we just lost him. Did we? Okay. Hold on a second, everybody out there. We'll put you back on the line. We'll get Russ back, but I'm going to go to the lines then while we're waiting. Can we go to Lee and Casco then while we're a bit Russ back? Lee, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where is Casco? I apologize. I don't have a clue.
It's between Richmond and St. Clair.
Oh, I should know that. I apologize. I should know that place. Anyway, how can I help you, sir?
I've got a vine growing.
Okay.
And it's got long, yellowish-white, feathery flowers coming off of it. I've seen it growing on the side of the road someplace, and I'm not sure what it is.
Kind of a star-shaped, cucumber leaf shape on the leaf?
Yeah.
And it's big, and it's flowering, and it really grows.
Yep.
Wild cucumber. There's two of them, actually, one which doesn't make any difference, but basically it's wild cucumbers. cucumber.
Okay.
And when you get after it in the fall, you'll get this, it looks like a little cucumber with big spines on it. Have you seen that? It's a little early for that. That's got the seed in it. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. If you go to my website, wgr.com/thegardeningshow, I think it was last week. If you go down at the bottom of the page, they have the information from each previous week. And if you look in there, I've got information on the wild cucumber, the two types of them.
Okay.
And take a look at that, and I think that's what it is.
Is it something that needs to be eradicated, or
it will take over things? Now, it's not, you know, it comes in fairly late. If you get a lot of it, you can, you know, covers plants and it's a pain and all that. It's not like some of the other things that really will kill trees and stuff. It's just a pain, and it's kind of hard to get rid of. So, you know, what I would do is if you can get at the base, you can just cut it off and it doesn't sprout back. If you can spray a little Roundup on the base a little bit later, that'll do it, although it's getting to the point where that doesn't work because the flowers are already there, the seed pods are forming, and the Roundup probably won't do that much good.
Yeah, I've got it's in with my Bee Balm and Morning Glories.
Yeah, if I would just try pulling it out if you can do it, Lou.
And
make sure that the seeds don't get transported around. Apparently squirrels like them. So if you can get the seed pods before they ripen up and do that, I think that'll knock a good part of it down. But that's the approach I would take.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate the call. Now, do we have Russ back on the line? Russ, are you there? There we go. Russ, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Hey, don't ever let a host press a button. You know, that's just not allowed. My fault. I apologize.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, we were back talking. Of course, Russ is the outreach coordinator for MSU's Eyes on the Forest project. And we were talking, of course, you mentioned the three diseases, one disease and two insects
right.
that you're doing. How is this going to work, and how are you going to roll it out? I guess if you don't mind, I'm going to hold. We're coming up in about 45 seconds to a break, and I'd like to keep going on this conversation. But when does this thing start? And then when we come back from break, we'll talk a little bit of how they can get involved in all this.
A good part of this will involve what we call sentinel tree volunteers. These are people who will volunteer to identify couple trees in your yard and watch them closely and report back to us online through databases and stuff what they're seeing, kind of thing.
So
that's
you know
part of the program.
That'll be part of the program. So across the state, I assume, and that kind of and wherever.
Right, and we're actively recruiting people right now.
Okay, hold on, Russ, stay on the line. We'll be right back when talking to Russ Kidd. But if you want to get into a conversation, 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome back. And my guest is Russell Kidd, who is the Outreach Coordinator, for Eyes on the Forest Project for Michigan State University. But you can join a conversation even if you don't want to talk about this great project, and that's 1-800-859-0957. So I appreciate the calls. And thank you for holding on, Russ. What is the timeline on this? When should people be thinking about, do I want to volunteer? Or, you know, give us a little idea how this is going to work.
Like I said, we're recruiting volunteers right now.
Okay.
We're looking at maybe master gardeners. We're looking at master naturalists, conservation stewards, people who work or associated with land conservancies. So, you know, park interpreters, foresters, others.
Okay.
And we're looking, people don't have to have a lot of knowledge, but if they have some limited knowledge of tree IDs, so they can tell one tree from another, and some basic biological knowledge is probably the only prerequisites. And we're trying to get about 150 volunteers that we'd like to see scattered across the state. So we have eyes on the forest. If we just figure that there's more people looking out for things, hopefully we'll get, you know, detect these things earlier than we have on some of the other problems in the past.
Well, yeah, I was looking at, of course, with the Asian longhorn beetle. We thought that the emerald ash borer was bad. You haven't seen anything if this one gets established.
It's a very large borer. The larva is probably about the size of my pinky, if you will, and it has a large appetite, and maple is one of its favorite hosts.
And you think how many different maples we have in our landscape is just frightening.
And that's one species we have across the entire state of Michigan, from, you know, Tecumseh to Ironwood.
Yeah, you know, right.
So we don't want this one in Michigan.
We certainly don't. Are you looking for any specific geographic areas or just anywhere in the state as we get volunteers?
Well, we like to have a good concentration in the southeast, southwest Michigan areas because when you have a with the concentration of industries and population that's down there, that's probably where some of these things are going to show up first.
Right.
But we also want them, in, like I said, across the state. The other part of this project, it involves working with the Michigan or the Midwest Invasive Species Network, which is kind of a database and website where we're going to be feeding in a lot of information through that website, and they're going to be doing a lot of risk assessment and mapping based on the information that they're getting. So it's kind of, this whole project is more than just the sentinel trees and the volunteers watching their trees. It involves all this other kind of research. And
those people are good to work with because I've had the
right.
pleasure to work with them before. But, you know, I think this idea of involving the public in this sentinel tree, I've never heard of a project like it, and it really, I think, is going to, I hope and certainly feel that it will bear dividends. This is quite exciting something to do. And by the way, I know who you're looking for. But I'm sure that somebody with a real interest and a willingness to be educated in certain areas, can, even if you don't have the credentials, master gardener,
right.
master conservator, right. don't say we're eliminating
no.
an opportunity to volunteer. That isn't true.
That isn't true. That's correct.
Not at all. Do you have a website or anything up yet, Russ?
We don't have a website up yet. That's in development
as well. Okay.
I just got this whole project really got going in mid-July, so we're trying to get a lot of things done all at once. And so the website, we've got some preliminary ideas, but there's nothing people can go to it yet.
Well, I'll give them one that people that are interested in. If you don't have this on your favorites on your browser, this is a good one. MSUE.MSU.EDU. And I'm sure you'll have information on there.
We've already had several articles on the MSU News site there
talking
about the project and some of more detailed information on why people should be concerned and, you know, the individual pests and things such as that.
These are very, very scary things. And certainly, as you pointed out, our experience with emerald ash borer, we should be more sensitive than any place in the whole United States to what could happen. So this is a great opportunity, Russell, and I hope, really, congratulations to you and Deb on getting this project up and running, and we'll be kind of keeping track on what's going on and how people are participating as you go along.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't say this whole project is being funded by the Michigan Invasive Species Grant Program through the state of Michigan, and Dr. Deb McCullough at MSU is our head principal investigator leading our team.
Leading the charge.
And I there's a number of other extension educators throughout the state who have a portion of their time dedicated to it. So
it's
a team effort.
It is a team, but this team needs your – I'm talking to my listeners out there. This team needs your help. So please keep informed on this, and if you have any – thought of being one of these people watching the sentinel trees, please
get involved. I can give people my email address. It's very simple.
Okay.
It's kidd, K-I-D-D, at msu.edu.
And I will put that up on my website, which is, of course, wjr.com/thegardeningshow. We'll put a little summary up there, and I'll put your email up, Russ, so I appreciate it.
And we're looking probably mid-October, late October for the trainings that, you know,
cool.
Once the missing web piece is in place, we have to beta test it to make sure it works.
Yeah, that's always useful.
Yeah. And then we will, from there, then hold training sessions to, you know, let people know how to report back and use this, you know what information to collect, and we'll train them how to collect it.
Fantastic. And I hope everybody out there really gets involved in this. This is very critical. We talk about how great Michigan is, and, of course, one of our sponsors is Pure Michigan. These guys, these three get involved in us, we're going to lose a lot of the beauty of our state. So thank you, Russ. And give my thanks to Deb. And we really appreciate what you guys are doing, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dean.
That was Russell Kidd, who is the outreach coordinator for the MSU's Eyes on the Forest project. And I'll have more information on my website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow. And it'll be up this week. 1-800-859-0957. And Pauline in Perrysburg has been very, very patient. So, Pauline, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be able to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
Well, our garden this year, for some reason, and we've never had it happen before, this grass, I don't know what kind it is, but it just about took over the garden, and especially in the red beets, and I pulled it up in about half a row,
yeah.
And the red beets were okay there, but the rest of the row where the grass was at, they're very small red beets.
Okay.
But it took over just about everything in our garden this year, and we've never, ever had it before.
Is it only in your garden, or is it, you know, in other areas in your yard, or is it just in the garden?
It's just in the garden.
Okay. When did it start?
It's not like the grass that you mow the grass.
No, it's probably quite thick, low-growing, or is it the upright one? There's two out there that I'm guessing it might be.
Well, it's upright.
Okay. Okay.
And
go ahead.
Very thick.
Very thick. There is a couple of grasses. And do you have internet access, Pauline?
Yes, I do.
All right. I'm going to give you my website in a minute, and I will have information up for you and everybody else, obviously, at about Wednesday morning. So check back on Wednesday morning. I'm going to put it's a key, and it looks kind of intimidating from North Carolina State University to tell which one you're dealing with, because it makes a difference which grass we're talking about here. But it's not. Just follow it through. It's much easier than it looks. And I'll put that up. And my thought is there is an annual grass that can get really aggressive, and it dies in the fall. Now, you can't, and I'm not sure which one it is, and you'll be able to tell it yourself. If it's that one, you don't need to worry about it. It'll go away.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's not. So my thought, are you comfortable using chemicals, especially glyphosate?
Yes.
All right. My thought would be after you get all your vegetables out and the grass is still growing, which it usually does, you know, it stays green for a while.
Uh-huh.
After you get your vegetables out, you get the garden cleaned up and everything's out that you want to have out, you go in and you just round up that area or spray it with a glyphosate, which is the active ingredient of Roundup. Even and as long as the grass is green, even up into late September, this will work, and it's very effective at this time of year because it is translocated, moves down into the root system, and kills all the stolons and everything else. That should pretty much take care of the problem. In the spring, if you get a few sprouts back, you can just squirt it again. I hope that will take care of the issue.
And in the spring, then, when we get ready to plant, that won't hurt?
Not at all. No,
plant our vegetables.
No, not at all. It will be tied up into the soil, will not be available. Don't spray it on mulch. Don't spray it on, you know, like if you knock, you know, where you're going to till in cover crops or anything, don't spray it on that because the residue can be held in that kind of material. But if you just spray it on bare ground or on the weeds, it'll be tied up and you'll have no problems at all. But check on Wednesday morning on that website. And
okay,
it's
what is the website?
WJR.com/thegardeningshow.
Okay.
And after Wednesday, it'll be up by Wednesday morning. And that'll tell you which grass it is, and it'll give you information. And if it's an annual grass, you don't have to worry about it. Unfortunately, I don't think it is. So, Pauline, thank you for calling.
Like I said, we've never had it happen before.
Okay.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
You can join our conversation. 1-800-859-0957. And I do have lines open, which doesn't happen. So if you've got anything that you haven't had the opportunity to call in, lines are open, and especially new gardeners. I always love to talk to people who first house, this kind of thing. It's great. And congratulations to all of you out there that are new gardeners and new first homeowners and all that. But give me a call. Maybe we can help you out. 1-800-859-0957. Of course, if you don't have the opportunity to call me, or more likely the question comes up in the middle of the week, email me. WJR.com/thegardeningshow. And Tom from Warren emailed me this week. And this is a question, Tom, that I really can relate to. And it's an ivy houseplant who has great sentimental value to Tom. It was a gift from his deceased mother, and I can certainly understand that because I've got plants in my family that we can track back over 150 years. And certainly those have great sentimental value. So the question is, what's going on with this? You've had it about 20 years. It's been doing well, and you take very good care of it. It seems to be just thriving up to not that long ago. Then the leaves started to get smaller in size and turning yellow and dying. Couple of things kind of pop to mind. But the first thing is, and it's one of the things that I tell people to do and I don't do often enough, and that's take cuttings. And the reason for that is if you lose the mother plant, we have that genetic plant material, the, you know, that material with the sentimental value, other plants around, and we can propagate again. So first thing I would do, Tom, on this is talk and get a good book on propagation, and I'll see if I can find something on plant prop. I got a couple of good things in mind for houseplants. And I will put that up on my website, WGR.com, thegardeningshow.com/thegardeningshow. And just, it's easy to do. And especially ivy is one of those that really does propagate easily. And what I would do is get some really good professional grade potting mix. This is the expensive stuff, not the stuff they sell by the pound. Not the stuff, it's sold by the cubic foot, and it's not cheap. If you happen to have, you're in Warren, you got some really good family-owned garden centers and greenhouses not that far away from you. If you are a customer of one of these, I'd go in and say, hey, what do you use and where can I buy it? Because they're the pros, they know which works for them, and I would buy what they suggest. It really does make a big difference. Then just follow the directions on propagating some new plants off of that. The other thing I would do, using that same very high-quality professional-grade media, is to repot the plant. The shrinking leaves and all these kind of condition things that you talked about are really very symptoms of being pot-bound. In other words, there's so many roots that it's just basically compressing all the soil. So one of the things I would do is just take it into, wash off all the media. A good garden spray or kitchen spray works very well for that. Rinse it off, get it rid of all. I think you might consider a bigger size pot the next size up, an inch bigger or something like that. Make sure, of course, always that you have a hole in the bottom so it drains. Put the media in the bottom of the pot. Put the plant in, spread the roots out, put more media in so it does, it's when you water it, the media is at the same height as always was and doesn't change. And then let's see what happens and keep our fingers crossed. And I think that will give you a, I hope, sincerely hope, that it will, you know, perk back up and start growing again for you. You might want to consider once it starts growing, you say that you added instant liquid plant food according to the directions every couple of months. Usually, probably a little more often than that might not be a bad idea. So I hope that works, Tom. I certainly am very sympathetic. I know exactly where you're coming from. Check out my website, WGR.com/thegardeningshow, by Wednesday morning, and I'll have that information about a good houseplant propagation book or information. And as I said, ivies are really quite easy to do. So good luck with that. And again, if you have a question in the middle of the week, email me. If you've got a question now, give me a call. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Spartan Jack. All right. Spartan Jack in Redford. Jack, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dr. Dean. I have a question about some herbs. I planted a little herb garden this year.
Sure.
And I grew some basil from seed.
Right.
I know that's an annual, but yep. I purchased sage, rosemary, and thyme plants.
Cool.
And I was wondering, will any of those, are those perennials where they'll stay over the, come back next year?
They are what I call a tender perennial. It's worth trying, but I don't get my hopes up a lot of times. Now, is this in a ground bed or in a container?
It's in the ground.
Okay.
The ground is very good there. It's right by the porch.
Good.
And the porch that gets the morning sun, so when the sun comes up in the spring, it bounces off the bricks.
Right.
And that's usually where the daffodils and those things come up, you know, very early.
Do you have any issues with like a downspout running through there or anything where there might be excess water in that area? Because that's really what kills plants the fastest of anything.
Yeah, there is a downspout, but I do have it directed so it goes more out into the lawn.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had problems with my garden this year. Everything is just starting to ripen now because it was under so much water. But
well, water, and it's been actually just up to about the last week, 2 weeks, we've actually been behind in temperature and growing degree days. So you and everybody else has been facing that.
Well, I've done well with my root plants, but where these herbs are, right by the porch, the soil is very good. And actually, they're doing quite well. This this sage plant has gotten, you know, it's at least a foot to foot and a half in diameter.
Cool.
And the basil is probably about 2 foot tall. It's starting to flower now.
Well, the basil I don't have any real good clues for because that's a, you know, it comes from the Mediterranean. So there's not a whole lot we can do. What I would do is just take some cuttings and grow them inside. See what, you know, that and basil roots, it's a weed. So, you know, yeah, that's what I approach. The other plants you've got a shot at, you need to protect, do two things. You need to make sure that once the ground freezes, it stays frozen because what kills plants is this frost-freeze cycle. That's really what gets it. So my choice, if you can find it, is some good wheat straw or something like that. The other thing is then you just mound it up and then you put something over the top to kind of keep away. And what I do is put some mouse bait underneath because that will be an ideal place to set up housekeeping for a field mouse. The other thing is that you could do, I don't like using plastic sheets or anything over it. You can't control the temperatures. And so the straw is usually will stay right on down. If you can't get straw, anything that's light and fluffy and goes up about 6 to 8 inches. I don't, if the plant, top of the plant, I'm not going to worry about. Okay, you're going to lose that above the mulch, and we'll just worry about that when it regrows next spring.
Okay.
The other thing is to make sure that before the ground freezes, for sure, that you keep that watered but not soaking wet. It's got to have a resource of water there, but you don't want water standing around the roots either.
What about around Thanksgiving, pruning the plants back?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Once you get that mulch in, and I'm talking about a 6 to 8 inch layer here.
Okay.
You might just whack off anything that sticks up on top just to make sure it does the wind doesn't catch it and things like that. But basically, that mulch is going to provide a protected environment. But make sure that the mulch goes on really as close as you can to when the ground freezes or right after. That's when you got it. Once it freezes, you want it to stay frozen.
Okay.
Okay.
And you know what? If they don't survive, it's not a big thing. I'll just get some new plants next
year. Well, yeah, that's the fun part of this is that it's not something that I'm depending my life on, you know, but it's just fun to play with. And you've got a pretty good opportunity here to do it. How much snow gets in that area?
Fairly, you know, light to normal. It's, okay. Like that, I say, it's a brick, or it's right up against a brick porch.
Right.
And that sun comes up in the morning and hits that brick, and
you know what I would do? The best insulator you've got is snow. Now, if snow can't have any salt in it, any thing to use to clear ice, you know, that just regular snow, especially the light fluffy stuff, I just kind of pile on top of that straw because, again, that sunlight warms that area up. The plants, even under the mulch, can start growing.
Okay.
And then at night, we drop down 30 degrees, and that's when they die because they freeze.
Well, there's no problem with snow. I've got a 2-car driveway, so.
Well, yeah, but again, anything, you know, the road salt gets dropped in there off the bottom of the cars and stuff, that is deadly. So pick it out, someplace where you know you're not going to get into salt. And you don't get a thick layer because if it gets too thick, and you see that very commonly, it gets thick, and then you get an ice layer underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you really want to avoid that. But the snow
will
help.
Well, even when I shovel off the porch, I can just take all that snow
just
off the porch shovel it right on.
There you go. There
all
you
right,
go.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. 1-800-859-0957. And I keep saying this, that I've got lines open. This is unusual. Give me a call. Also, when we come back and break, I got a couple things for the exotic plants. Just remind people that for all you people who are into really cool houseplants, the exotic plant sale and show is coming up September 12th and 13th at Mathai. And that's a little bit early this year for those of us who keep going back. But I'll talk about this. If you've never had a houseplant, here's an opportunity.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. Of course, that's 1-800-859-0WJR. Anyhow, lines are open. I keep saying that. But here's, if you've ever, okay, I have a passion here, or a passion, whatever. I love these kind of plants. People who can't have black thumbs, and by the way, those don't exist. I don't care how black your thumb is, you can grow really interesting plant material. You just got to pick the right one. Also, or you're just tired of all of their usual house plants, and I want to be have something different to look at, or it's sort of like your neighborhood is like mine. We have this competition in gardening going around. And okay, so I'm on the show and doing this, and I got two neighbors who beat me all the time. I got, you know, truth. We're transparent here on the gardening show on JR. So anyway, if you're into any of those, or you just want to try something that's really fun, go to the Michigan, the Exotic Plant Show and Sale, as sponsored by the Michigan Cactus and Succulent Society and the Southeastern Michigan Bromeliad Society. These are fascinating plants. They just are gorgeous, some of them. Some of them are just downright ugly. They're so ugly, they're cute. And they're fun to deal with, and many of them are just very, very easy to grow. And they're just kind of fun things to do. Now, September the 12th and 13th, 10:30 to 4:30 at Mathai Botanic Gardens, which is in Ann Arbor, for those of you who are not familiar with the area. I do have information on this on my upcoming events part of my website, wjr.com/thegardeningshow. It'll link you into the information, and you can look up bromeliads, and you can look up cactus and succulents. The neat thing about it is that you're going to have people who are, these are addicts. You know, these are their babies, so they know how to grow plants, and they want to spread the word, and it's a sale. So they, you can buy a plant and find out how to grow it, and they're, you know, it's not expensive at all. It's just downright fun. Exotic Plant Show and Sale, sponsored by the Michigan Cactus and Succulent Society and the Southeastern Michigan Bromeliad Society. Fascinating people themselves and fascinating plants. September 12th and 13th, 10:30 to 4:30 at Mathai. Look in my upcoming events section of my website for more information. And I'm saying this is just, they're so fun. They really are. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to Andy in Genoa. Andy, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you for taking the call. Dean, I think I heard the answer to this about a year ago, but I can't remember for sure.
Okay, what's up?
I have a couple of cherry trees.
Sure.
One was a weeping cherry, and another was just an ornamental cherry.
Okay.
And the branches are gradually dying off, and I think you said something about the fact that they just get old.
That's, yeah, cherries, you know, are one of the shorter life trees, Andy, but that doesn't, you know, sometimes it's just like everything else. That's a convenient type of diagnosis, but we need to really do some digging on this. There are a real bunch of symptoms that cause, it can be old age. Things like, right now we've got a great, you know, an epidemic of cherry leaf spot, and it's just wiping leaves all over the place. And if that hits year after year, that can weaken the plant. We've had, you know, you've had the miserable winters just like we have up here, and that makes it really tough, especially for a cherry that's, you know, they're not exactly the hardiest plant around. That makes it tough, so that could add to it and really reduces the vigor. Black knot is a common one. I don't, you know, you may be familiar with that. You've got these big, black, ugly growths on the branches, which are caused by a bacteria that can kill branches off. So there's a range of these kind of things going out there.
Okay.
One of the things about it is cankers, too. Lawnmower canker, where you've nicked the base of the plant and the infection starts there. Any kind of break in the bark, we get a canker. And basically, Andy, you need to really take a really good look at these trees and see if any or all of the above are talking about it. One of the more common, are they near a house, a structure, anything like that?
Actually, both of them are probably 30 to 40 feet from the house.
Okay, no construction, no putting in new sidewalks or anything that caused root damage in the last 5-6 years?
No. They've been in for about 15 to 18 years and no digging at all.
Okay. Very likely it's roughly how old are these? I apologize. I should have asked. I didn't.
15 to 18 years.
Should get more than that. Should get more than that. I don't know. I would start really looking it over and then seeing if anything looks weird. The best thing to go is to go to OSU Extension because they're right down there and near you. And see if they can help you out, if you find symptoms or anything. But I'd be looking for this canker thing, and if you just can't see it on the bark or anything, literally you take your thumbs and you squeeze. And if you get a soft spot, that's really suspicious. And check with them, because you need some, you know, it's so much easier to have somebody that has eyes on the problem to help you work through the diagnosis.
Exactly. Okay.
Hey, good luck with that tree, or trees.
All right.
Appreciate
well,
the call. Yes, sir. Let's go to Dick in Warren. Dick, welcome to the gardening show.
Hi, Dean.
What's going on?
Hey, last week I rented a place up north about 20 miles south of Mackinac.
Cool.
And there was a maple tree on the property.
Sure.
And it had incredibly rough bark. I mean, if you bumped into this in the middle of the night, you it would open up your head like a...
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's, what color is it?
What color? A grayish bark. Gray,
yeah.
White.
And I apologize to you, Dick, and to all the people out there because I'm having a blank. There are some maples that's normal. Is the tree otherwise healthy as far as you can tell?
Yes, and I asked around up there and people thought it was a sugar maple.
No, it wouldn't be. The sugar maple has smooth bark and it's black. No, it's not a sugar. I'll bet it's one of those, and I'm drawing a blank. These are cool trees, and that. I'm not saying this isn't a disease, but what I'm thinking about, this is an ornamental one, and the it's a and I just can't think of the name. Oh, I'm sorry. Check my website wjr.com/thegardeningshow. By Wednesday, and I'll have some ID information out there. But this is like a shagbark hickory or something. This is normal. It peels back, and it's really interesting looking. And, yeah, it can be sharp. If you bump into it, it's not going to be pleasant.
Oh, it's hard. Nothing's going to peel off.
I
can send you photos of it, the bark.
You could try emailing me. Sometimes it doesn't work. But I'm going to put this up for everybody else to take a look at because I think this one's an ornamental, and I just can't think of the right one. But it sounds like if the tree is otherwise healthy, as far as you can tell, this is normal.
Old.
Yeah, this is normal. But it's those are cool trees. They really are. Okay.
This is WJR.com.
WJR.com/thegardeningshow. And then it's down at the bottom of the page, and somewhere in there I think you can upload pictures, but I'm not the tech expert. So you may have to play around a little bit.
I'm really curious.
I'm sorry?
I'm really curious.
Well, I am too, and if it's the one I'm thinking about, this is a cool tree. So good luck with that, Dick, and I hope you can send me pictures. But check my website after the Wednesday morning, because that one will be updating things. So I appreciate it. Good luck with that, sir.
Okay, Dean, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Just reminding me about the website, and background music means we're out of here. I need to thank two important people behind the glass. Rich Luzinski and Mike Parsons, they make it possible for me to forget what maple tree it is and everything else. And I really appreciate that. Check my website, WJR.com. I got interesting information on there this week. Those of you in the Toledo area, the Maumee Valley Growers, if you're familiar with that group, great group of growers, they got a new website. Well, they updated it, better maps. For all you turf people out there, all the MSU turf videos on YouTube. I got a links. And for those kind of worried about some trees losing leaves and some early tree color, I got some links there, too. And I'll be talking about plant prop, and we'll talk about Dick's information on that maple tree that I can't remember. Anyhow, lots of information on that. Where'd the time go? Wherever it went, have a fantastic week.